Welcome to episode 49 of Life with Mitty. This episode will provide an update to the just-finished Ameren Managed EV Charging Pilot with key stats from EV Energy. What were the results? What happens now? And will I continue to use it? We'll share the results of our first Model Y summer range test. And finally, first impressions on speed limit sign recognition in version 2020.36. Yesterday, I received an email from EV Energy that detailed the results of the pilot. There were 40 pilot participants, all Tesla owners, in the St. Louis metro area. Along with me, we saved up to $10 per month per EV by automatically charging during the cheapest hours on PowerSmart pricing and the time of day rate. It should be noted that we didn't get to keep those savings. It wouldn't really be fair for us to participate in a special pilot and get a cheaper electricity rate than other people. As a utility, I don't think that Ameren can do that. What they did instead was really novel. They asked us to donate the savings we would have gained to charity. I took my savings and donated them to Operation Food Search in the St. Louis area. I have a heart to see every person fed, and this was a great opportunity for me to do so. The pilot participants also reduced carbon emissions by over 100 pounds of CO2 per month per car by allowing EV Energy to align charging schedules to renewable generation in Ameren's network. Finally, we helped Ameren avoid grid overload on dozens of hot summer afternoons when power demand was high, all by just plugging in. Amazing, isn't it? I didn't have to think about it. The car was being controlled directly by EV Energy's technology. I didn't have to do anything different. This was a great experience of what is coming in the future. But what happens now? Pilot participants can continue to use the managed off-peak charging capabilities for free as long as we like. Will I continue to use it? Without a doubt, why wouldn't I? By reducing carbon emissions for the electricity I use and helping Ameren balance the grid, I've got a great message to share with non-EV owners. You don't have to fall for the myth that most electricity that EVs use is generated by coal. It's simply not true. There is some that is, and using this technology will reduce that even more. So for me, I'm going to be asking if my Model Y can also be added. Because if I can do it for free, why not? And in the future, I expect Ameren to help me save money using this as well. Coming up next, is there really an advantage to using aero covers on the Model 3 and the Model Y? We'll share the surprising results of our first summer range comparison between our Model 3 and the Model Y. We recently finished a range test, going between my house in St. Peters, Missouri, and exit 193 in Warrenton, Missouri on I-70. This was a 53-mile round trip. We drove at 70 miles an hour, and the weather conditions couldn't have been better for this. The temperature was between 75 and 80 degrees Fahrenheit. It was partly cloudy. Winds from the east to the northeast at 5 to 7 miles per hour, and 54% humidity. The car settings, no chill mode, normal regen, and 70 degrees on the AC. We also used basic autopilot and on-demand lane changes when necessary to maintain that speed. We have results in four categories. Our 2018 long-range rear-wheel drive Model 3 with 18-inch aeros and without, and our 2020 long-range all-wheel drive Model Y with 19-inch Geminis and without the Gemini covers. Here are the surprising results of our range test. the 2018 long-range rear-wheel drive Model 3 with Aeros got 220 watt-hours per mile, an astonishing 153.2 miles per gallon electric equivalent. That's 4.5 miles per kilowatt hour, and an estimated range with a 74 kilowatt hour battery pack of 333 miles. Now, what happens when you take the Aeros off? Efficiency drops to 228 watt hours per mile, a reduction of only 3.5%. That didn't surprise me, because that confirmed what I had always believed about the effect that the aero covers have on a Model 3. That translates to 147.8 miles per gallon electric equivalent, 4.4 miles per kilowatt hour, and an estimated range of 325 miles. Now that's a magic number. Those of us who own 2018 long-range rear-wheel drive Model 3s remember when we were promised an estimated range increase to 325 miles. It wasn't an efficiency improvement, it was simply a tweak to the software that came up with the estimate. I and several of my friends never saw that improvement, but somehow we knew our cars were capable of it. And this proves it with this test. Now let's move on to the results for the Model Y. For the 2020 long-range all-wheel drive Model Y with 19-inch Gemini covers on, we achieved 260 watt-hours per mile, which equals 129.6 mpge. If you recall, that is the EPA rating for the 2018 long-range rear-wheel drive Model 3. Here we have a car that's heavier, bigger, and two motors instead of one, and it achieves the same mpge as the 2018 long-range rear-wheel drive Model 3. That's amazing. That translates to 3.8 miles per kilowatt hour and an estimated range with a 74 kilowatt hour pack of 281 miles. Yes, that's lower than 316. I can't imagine my Model Y getting 316 miles. More to come on that in future range tests. Let's review the results without the Gemini covers on. This is a big surprise to me. 278 watt-hours per mile, a reduction in range of 6.5% simply because I took the Gemini wheel covers off. I was very surprised. I was expecting 3.5%, similar to the Model 3. That tells me when we're on our road trips, we're leaving the Gemini covers on, without a doubt. This translates to 121.2 mpge with 3.6 miles per kilowatt hour, an estimated range of 266 miles. Thinking about those results tells me a couple of things. Number one, if you have a Model Y with 19-inch wheels, leave the covers on when you're going on road trips. You will get an additional 6.5% of range on your trips. This definitely makes a difference in efficiency, almost twice as much as the Model 3 using its aero covers. We'll follow up these results in the winter with range tests that will highlight the difference between the Model Y and its heat pump and the effect that'll have against the Model 3. We'll also do some warm-up tests to see how quick the Model Y will warm up compared to the Model 3. So be listening for those in December, January, and February. Coming up next, first impressions on speed limit sign recognition in version 2020.36. I've been looking forward to this software update for a long time. I can't tell you how many city streets I drive on where the speed limit on the map is wrong. Sometimes off as much as 20 miles per hour. That's hard to take when you want the car to do traffic-aware cruise control wherever you go. I would have the car slow down suddenly, and the car behind me was not too happy. Neither was I. I didn't want to slow down from 40 miles an hour down to 25. Silly. It would happen way too often. The map data is not dependable. It should be, but it's not. So now with 2020.36, I can count on the car to see the speed limit sign and adjust the speed limit. It works great. I've had zero times where it didn't work. In every single case when the car goes by a speed limit sign, even some that were partially obscured by a tree, it would read it and it was accurate and it did what it's supposed to do. This is a great improvement. I've been so used to having to watch for this, and on certain streets, I'd always know, okay, we're on this road, I know I've got to turn off traffic-aware cruise control, or I've got to goose the go pedal a little. Now that is a thing of the past, and it works wonderful. I have read where some people have had trouble with it, but for me, it's been flawless. Does a great job. It gets you thinking, what other signs should the car read? We know it reads stop signs, that's an important one. But what about yield signs? What about no turn on red signs? And others as well. I'm fully expecting that we're going to see more and more signs being read by the car because the map data is inaccurate. Now that's a little concerning when we think about traffic light and stop sign control. For traffic lights, the car uses the map data to anticipate a traffic light. Now I did some early testing when that feature first came out, and I went to a place where there was a temporary traffic light set up, and the car recognized it. Of course, it didn't give me 600 feet of warning, but the car worked perfectly. That lets me know the software is not just depending on map data to make these decisions. It is using the cameras to know a traffic light is approaching. I then anticipate that we'll see more and more of these traffic signs being recognized for the car to know what to do. We'll be watching for that in the next few months as we get closer and closer to full self-drive. Well, that's it for this episode. Glad you could join us, and always remember, empower others. You'll never live life on empty. I'll talk to you next time.